Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Book Cast, the official podcast of filmbook.com. My name is Mike Smith, and I live my life a quarter mile at a time. Joining me, as always, is my Brian O'Connor.
Mike DiCriscio.
How you doing today, Mike?
I'm good.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
Thanks for your well wishes, Mike.
Basically, if you've never listened to an episode of Film Book Cast before, we're actually going to be altering our schedule today. Normally, we do film news, then do a review, and then do our recommendations slash what we've been watching slash discussions. Today, however, we're going to be doing film news first, as usual. So, you know, we're not rocking the boat too much.
No.
But we're going to do our discussions right after that because my discussions are the entire Fast and Furious series.
So I hope you're ready for the four-hour episode.
I'm going to give you the breakdown of every Fast and Furious. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. Grab a beer. Better be a Corona.
You really got to try some of that Belgian ale, man.
Grab yourself a Corona. Get into a really nice, really expensive car that you're probably going to smash. And see what happens. Listen to our podcast.
Hit play. Because nothing's safer than drinking and driving and listening to a podcast at the same time.
And then, obviously, we're going to move on to our review of Furious 7.
Filmbook.com does not endorse drinking and driving.
Good catch. All right, guys. So I think let's get the show on the road.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Good. All right. Let's start with our film news segment. We've got a few items today. We haven't done a podcast in like a month.
Yeah, we're kind of not that good at this. But we're also very good at this. So
exactly. You're welcome. That's why you keep coming back.
Yeah, I think probably.
So we haven't done a podcast in like a month, so we've missed a couple of big stories. So I'm going through a few things that we've missed. One of the things that was pretty big for me, Steven Spielberg has signed on to direct Ready Player One, the adaptation of the novel by Ernest Cline. Now, Mike, are you familiar with Ready Player One?
I'm familiar with the story and, you know, the book's popularity. I have not read it, though.
Okay. Well, Ready Player One is about... basically, it's this future where, like, there's this video game thing that you have to play.
Well, when you put it that way, it's very engrossing. I'm sure it's wonderful.
Essentially, it's a dystopian future where you have to...
It's like a Matrix kind of thing, right?
Kind of, yeah. It's like this main character has to play this video game that is essentially all about 80s culture.
Yeah. Right.
Like 1980s culture. To find this, like, lost treasure or something that, like, the creator of the game left behind.
Mm-hmm.
I have read the first, like, 10 to 15 pages of Ready Player One. I thought it was terrible.
Okay.
Which, the thing is, Ready Player One is something that should be right up my alley.
It should be.
Like, this is...
Which,
like,
makes me interested in why you hated it.
From
15 pages.
Yeah, I only read 10 pages, 15 pages. And, yeah, it's very, I don't know, it's like...
Welcome to the Book Review Podcast.
Yeah, the Book Review Podcast. It's just jerking itself off, man.
It's just, it knows what it is, and it's like, yeah, you're going to love this shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, this is like, I don't know, it just feels gross.
Okay, fair enough. But, so, interesting that you're excited for the movie, then.
Well, I wasn't. but there's somebody who can make me excited about anything. It's Steven Spielberg.
It's Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg is one of my favorite directors ever, one of the biggest directors ever, and also I think a really good fit for Ready Player One because of his history as one of the main influences of that book.
Huh. That's it. I never even thought of that. That's interesting.
So I think that's, you know, a cool choice, and there's so much licensed material in that book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, you know how Wreck-It Ralph had, like, licensed characters from video games? Ready Player One has that for, like, everything.
Oh, my God.
So, Steven Spielberg is the guy who can actually probably get those licenses.
Yeah, that's a good
point. To make it happen.
Right.
So, Spielberg directing that is a cool idea.
That's cool.
He's directing it. It's not going to be his next film. Right now, he's shooting or has finished shooting Bridge of Spies, his Cold War thriller with Tom Hanks.
Typical Steven Spielberg.
And then after that, he is adapting the BFG, the Roald Dahl novel. And then after that, he's doing Ready Player One.
Is that a Doom spinoff? I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I had to do it.
That's fair enough. but yeah, so he's doing
Ready Player One. And then after that is Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess in all this, I'm wondering, you know, where is Tintin 2? But, but I mean, that's a pretty exciting lineup, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I think he'll do a good job.
Yeah.
I'll have to read it. I'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, we'll see.
I figure I'll probably like it.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm like things, Mike. Not like you, who hates everything.
I don't hate
it. Oh, wait, no. That, I got that wrong. It's the other way around.
All right. So, moving on. Mm-hmm. Another bit of directorial news. The Russo brothers, Anthony and Joe Russo, who directed Captain America the Winter Soldier, are directing Captain America Civil War and have worked on two of my favorite TV shows of all time, Community and Arrested Development.
What more could you ask for?
Exactly. They are officially directing Avengers Infinity War, parts 1 and 2.
Both parts.
Both parts.
Okay.
So part 1 will happen, and then part 2 will happen.
And it'll be directed by the same people?
Directed by the Russos.
Whoa, crazy.
So, I mean, that's cool. It's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job with Captain
America. Yeah, I think The Winter Soldier is probably my favorite of the Marvel movies so far.
Yeah, pending next month when Avengers pending 2 comes Avenger- out.
Yeah, well, I said so far, man.
You did. You covered yourself. You did qualify.
Anyway, I think the Russos have shown like an immense talent, like a really way to good. I think
they're so good you can't even say it.
The Russos are really good at what they're doing.
Yes,
and I'm excited. I'm really excited for Captain America: Civil War. I think that movie's going to be amazing.
I hope so. I think it's going to blow everything out of the water.
Yeah, and Infinity War is going to be like almost the series finale of. Like, if you're looking at this in TV terms, Infinity War is going to be, like, the series finale of the entire fate of Marvel movies up to that point.
Yeah.
There will be millions after that, but...
But for right now...
Yeah. Like, and Infinity War looks to be, like, kind of the end of an era, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because that's also going to be when a lot of people's contracts are up.
Right. They're going to have to start doing the other Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
The B-team.
Yeah. And so it's sort of what I think Infinity War might be.
Right.
Because I think it's the reason why they split it up in two parts. My general theory, Civil War will have, like, the Avengers broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they won't be around in the same fashion that we know them as.
Right, all in one thing.
Right, so I think Infinity War Part 1 could be, like, the B-team, so to speak.
Ooh.
And then Infinity War Part 2 could be the A-team finally joining together.
Coming back.
Yeah. So, like, they'll have enough to fill a movie. They'll have Spider-Man.
Yeah, which is all we need.
That's all you need.
It could be 2.5 hours that'll get people of just Spider-Man swinging,
That'll get butts in seats,
yeah.
You know? But you'll have Spider-Man, you'll have Ant-Man, you'll have Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. Strange.
Yeah, and you'll have Black Panther will be there.
Right, all the Guardians, presumably.
Possibly. You never know. I think it's...
Just space.
It's weird. James Gunn has said, like, he wants Guardians to be as separate from the rest of the universe as possible.
Oh, too late. as possible. Oh, okay.
As possible. So I'm curious to see whether the Guardians are involved in Infinity War. I feel like they would have to be.
Yeah.
Just because, like, Thanos is the main villain.
Exactly.
And Thanos was the, like, kind of the overarching... He was the Emperor Palpatine of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I'm interested. I'm obviously interested. It's an Avengers movie.
Maybe they won't come to Earth or something, but they'll be involved.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know.
Could be part one takes place in space and part two takes place on Earth. You never know.
Time will tell.
You never know. Moving on from that, mm-hmm. Some pretty... I would say moderately exciting news from the Kevin Smith world. So Kevin Smith is a filmmaker who I used to adore.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I would generally say The Clerks are my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I mean, I've never really recalibrated that opinion. I don't think it is my favorite movie anymore.
Right.
But like, I've never picked a new one. So if people ask me my favorite movie is, I usually just say Clerks.
Default Clerks.
Yeah. It's just, like, out of habit.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kevin Smith is a filmmaker that was very important to me in high school. Last few years, I don't really know what he's been up to.
He's just kind of been doing some stuff.
Yeah. Well, like, I think his career is really interesting because he was talking about retiring for a long time.
Right.
And Red State was going to be his second-to-last movie, and then he's going to make Hit Somebody, which was his hockey movie, and that was going to be it. That was going to be his last film.
Okay.
And then he started talking about Clerks 3, and he decided that would be his last film.
Right.
And then he just decided to make a whole bunch of movies.
So basically, he just keeps pushing back his retirement date.
Yeah, well, I think he's officially not retiring anymore. It's interesting, because I think he feels reinvigorated, almost.
Right.
He seems like he's making movies for himself now, which is good.
Like, clearly, Tusk was made for him.
Yeah. Let's think. Tusk was, like, a movie that, like, he brainstormed on a podcast.
Mm-hmm. We can change the world, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Even in the end credits of Tusk. Did you see Tusk?
No, I haven't seen
okay.
it yet.
Okay. In the end credits of Tusk, they play the audio from the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
So, Tusk is almost like a movie made on, like, a dare. Like, Like, they literally, like, after they did the podcast, they went to Twitter and said, "Hey, would you guys like to see this movie? Use hashtag Walrus Yes or hashtag Walrus No." And that, and they got Walrus Yes.
Walrus Yes won.
Yeah, enough. Yeah, and so they made Tusk. Like, it was
wow.
And now Tusk has, like, sort of reinvigorated him. I thought Tusk was fine.
Yeah,
it's a really interesting movie, I think, but it's not, like, that good.
Right, it's just weird as shit.
Exactly. Kevin Smith did Tusk. He's finishing up Yoga Hosers, which is a spinoff of Tusk.
Mm-hmm.
And now, his next movie, he's going back to the mall. He's going to make Mall Rats 2.
Mall Rats 2.
So, this is a sequel I don't think anybody was asking for.
No.
But,
not particularly, however.
I really love Mallrats.
Yeah, I'm not mad that this is happening.
Yeah, it's weird.
I love the Jay and Silent Bob characters, so anything that they're kind of in.
Jay and Silent Bob are great.
I'm in, yeah. You know.
But yeah, like Mallrats 1 was not one of his best films, but it's, I think, a really funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so, like, I'm not really sure where a sequel could go.
Yeah,
if it's all the same people just hanging out in a mall 20 years later, that's kind of sad.
Still mall rats. You know, as a person who works at the mall, I wouldn't be surprised if there's definitely people I see like, you were here when you were in high school doing the same shit. So he could do it. I wouldn't think it's that far-fetched.
Fair enough. But so the past couple of weeks, he's been tweeting out, like, pictures and going through, like, he's basically going and getting the band back together, so to speak. Stanley is going to do it.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's been, like, rounding up cast members. So I think he said he has, like, three to go. He's not saying who's who.
Right.
But Ben Affleck is not has not agreed yet.
Not yet.
So I'm really interested to see if Ben Affleck does it.
I would think so. I don't think you think he's, like, too lofty now.
I think he's Batman now, man.
Which is ripe for Kevin Smith Mallrats humor.
That's true.
I mean, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He's in what are they? Goodwill Hunting 2.
Goodwill Hunting 2.
Season.
Yeah.
Like, I think he would be okay with this.
Yeah. I mean, here's, like, Ben Affleck was in. Well, he used to be in a bunch of Kevin Smith movies.
He's in, like, all of them.
He's in a lot. Yeah. His last one was Clerks 2, though, which was 10 years ago. Nine years ago.
Oh my God! What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And apparently since then, like, Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck don't really hang out anymore.
I can see that.
According to Kevin Smith, Jennifer Garner doesn't like him.
I can also see that. That's awesome. Ever since he got called fat on the plane, they threw him off.
Yeah. I guess they don't really hang out anymore. I'm sure they've seen each other once in a while.
Around.
Yeah. I feel like I remember Kevin Smith visited the set of Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, really?
Probably cried.
Probably. Yeah, just wept.
Yeah, like he did with Star Wars. Like, yeah. Kevin Smith could have a career of just going to movie sets and, like, crying.
He'd be the guy. But I hope he comes back. That'd be great.
Yeah. Probably for, like, a cameo, I would imagine.
Yeah, just for a scene.
But yeah, he's got almost the entire cast is back now. He's got the dude from the first movie, Jeremy London, Jason Lee's in.
Yeah.
You know? So
I hope Mark Hamill is at the comic book shop with Stan Lee doing a signing as well as Bong Man.
No, he was the cock knocker.
That's right. I always forget.
But that's Mallrats 2. So, yeah, apparently that was going to be, like, a while from now. He's going to do Clerks 3 after Yoga Hosers.
Right.
But now Mallrats 2 is taking precedence because the mall that they were going to be shooting at is shutting down.
That's
and
awesome.
And it's, like, being torn down.
Like, that's kind of Kevin Smithy poetic.
So, I mean, I'm interested in Mallrats 2, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, final bit of film news.
Mm-hmm.
Disney is remaking every movie they've ever made.
Classic Disney.
Yeah. So
you got the same 11 fairy tales. Just keep making them. Just change some stuff and keep making them.
Yeah. Well, so this started a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Alice in Wonderland came out.
Correct.
And then last year, Maleficent came out.
Correct.
Which was this retelling of Sleeping Beauty from the point of view of Maleficent.
Yep. It's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yes.
No, it's not.
No, it's the opposite. I mean, it's the opposite. It's Grendel.
It's Grendel.
And then this year, a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella came out.
Yeah, was that, like, a success? I don't even know.
It made a lot of money, I believe.
Did it? Oh, yeah.
I've heard it wasn't bad. I've heard it was pretty good.
I mean, it's Kenneth Branagh, so it's probably pretty dope.
Probably. But anyway, now they've kind of kicked it into high gear with their live action remakes of their animated classics game. So
send it to a higher level.
Within the last few weeks, we've had announcements on the following. This one is not an announcement. This has been filming for a while. Jon Favreau's Jungle Book is happening next year.
Yes.
The Beauty and the Beast remake has begun casting.
Okay.
Emma Watson's going to be Belle.
Yes, I heard about that. That's right. They announced the Beast, too. I forget who it is.
I forget his name. I think it's some dude.
Most likely some dude.
I remember seeing him, and I remember thinking, that does not look like a Beast. He looks pretty good. He's a pretty good-looking guy.
Yeah. CGI, Mike.
And then, from there on out, we get Tim Burton's Dumbo.
Mm-hmm.
We get a sequel to Alice in Wonderland.
Why?
We're going to get a live-action Mulan.
Okay, I'm on board.
Live-action Winnie the Pooh.
What?
And live-action Pinocchio.
Okay.
Now, of these, I think Tim Burton's Dumbo is the weirdest one.
Yes.
But also, live-action Mulan is also pretty weird.
It's also pretty weird. Yeah, I don't get...
I mean, I think it's a... I don't know. I think it's weird that they're remaking all these animated movies.
The tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theory person in me, although I don't think this is how copyright works, but I feel like they're redoing this to renew all the copyrights because I don't think that's how it works.
I mean, I think it's clear that these movies are making a lot of money, the remakes of animated movies.
Just because
obviously they're going to do them all.
Yeah, I only say that because Disney is... evil in terms of copyright, and they're the whole reason that copyright is now the life of the creator plus like 95 years or
that's
75
true. Yeah.
years. Because Mickey Mouse was supposed to go into the
public domain
like
yeah.
in the 80s or 90s, and they just keep pushing it back and lobbying Congress to push it back another 20 years. And it's coming up. I think it's like 2018 or something.
Yeah.
It's soon for the new one for when that happens again.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they're the devil.
Yeah, but a Tim Burton Dumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Is an odd thing.
I think you were right when you said that it's just so he could do the pink elephant scene.
Yeah, the pink elephant sequence is the only reason Tim Burton's doing a Dumbo movie. So many of these I can't even envision in live action. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Dumbo is a talking elephant.
It's an elephant.
Yeah, or maybe not a talking elephant. I haven't seen Dumbo in a long time.
I don't know. It's about an elephant that flies. I know that much.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, I've done seen about everything.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen an elephant fly.
Yeah,
I hope they keep the racist crows. That's,
oh my God.
I feel like it's integral to the story of Dumbo.
Yeah. And the legacy that is Disney. It's just rampant racism.
Of these, I think Beauty and the Beast is probably the best shot of being good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's more of an adaptation of the Broadway musical.
Right.
So there's like precedent
in
there.
The same vein of like Into the Woods and
yeah.
that kind of thing.
And Mulan...
could just be like a historical drama.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's like one that's like you don't need to like. But then there's like Winnie the Pooh and there's Dumbo and Jungle Book, and those are movies that are like,
why
these have animals in them?
Yeah, I mean Jungle Book is already a live action movie.
That's true. I think there's a couple of live action.
Yeah,
Jungle
there's
Books.
A few of them. So like maybe
yeah.
it'll be good. I don't
but
know.
I believe this one has talking animals.
Yeah.
So
I hope they take the opportunity for Pinocchio and make it about artificial intelligence. that would be an awesome way to update a dude making a wooden puppet. Like,
make him a robot?
Make him a robot. That'd be awesome for Disney. I would,
that
actually,
would actually
be really interested in that.
That would actually be incredible.
Right? Like, come
I would
on.
Be so excited for that.
But instead, they'll just not do that, probably.
Probably not.
Because there's no way.
Yeah. But I think these are... It's weird that these are happening. Dumbo, Winnie the Pooh, and Jungle Book are movies that are so entwined with their animation.
Yeah,
like the animation is a big part of those movies.
Right.
Is why those movies are why those movies work
mm-hmm.
or work as well as they do
on their level. Yeah,
yeah. You take the animation away, and it's like, well, this is going to be like an entirely different medium.
Right.
It's an entirely different thing. So it's odd to me that Disney's remaking all their animated classics.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they saw the success of Paddington.
Okay.
I don't know. It's another movie about a bear.
That is another movie about a bear.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Fair enough. All right. I think that probably
that's
wraps it up.
That's enough of that.
Probably wraps it up to film news.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our What We've Been Watching segment. So that's
mm-hmm.
Mike, you'll go first, and then I'll give my breakdown of The Fast and the Furious.
Damn it. All right. So during our hiatus or midterms week, basically, screwed us, I watched a bunch of space movies.
Cool.
Interstellar came out on it was released on Blu-ray, DVD.
Yes, I'm gonna copy. Probably pick that up soon.
Yeah, it's amazing. Watch it, get it, own it forever. So I watched that. I don't own it. My friend bought it, so I went over and watched it with him.
Nice.
And I was like, you know what? This kind of reminded me that like deep space movies are awesome.
So you went and
so I perused the old Netflix. Yeah. And I found Event Horizon, which I had actually seen a while ago, but I watched it again because it's awesome. And Europa Report, which I had never seen. So
okay.
So Europa Report, I guess I'll talk about that one first.
Sure.
Came out in 2013. It was directed by Sebastian Cordero. Stars Charlton Copley and Michael Nyquist, who's my good old homeboy from John Wick.
Yeah. Generic Russian gangster.
However, breaks typecast in this movie. He's not the evil Russian guy. So it's about the first manned mission to Saturn's moon Europa.
Yes.
And shit happens. I don't know. It was awesome. It was interesting. I thought it's, I guess, a found footage movie?
Yeah. It's
like a fake documentary.
Yes. I've seen Europa Report. And it treats the entire thing like it's a documentary. About, and it's like lost like footage.
Lost
like,
footage. Yeah. It was like, oh, the communication for the ship went down. And like,
this is all we have left.
Yeah. And then we've declassified the files kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was actually really interesting because I typically don't enjoy found footage.
Okay.
Like, I just think it's like a weird, like way to insert tension into a story that like has no tension.
Fair enough. I have mixed feelings about found footage. I think there are great ones.
Yeah, there are some that do it really well. Like Chronicle, I think that handles it very well.
But it's also a way for lazy filmmakers to get away with being lazy.
I just hate the like, oh, wink to the camera. Why are you holding that? Oh, people deserve to know. Okay, now we keep going. That's it.
People deserve to know.
It's one of my favorite psych bits.
We need to document.
Yeah. But Europa Report handles that really well by having it all be stationary cameras that are set up to monitor the ship. So it's just like, oh, there's a camera in the corner of this room and like on in this computer, like, you know. So instead of having to justify every scene while someone's holding a camera, there's a stationary camera in the, like, you know, mounted on the wall here. And which actually Into the Storm, which is another found footage movie that came out this year, which was awful. But it's kind of showing like how GoPro are kind of changing filmmaking for these.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, there's people, storm chasers making a movie. And they just have GoPros mounted all over their cars and stuff. It's like, oh, that's actually would make sense.
Yeah.
I'm into it. But naturally, Europa Report, as a deep space first man mission movie would, shit goes wrong, everyone starts dying, and there's aliens. So,
fair enough.
Spoiler alert for that movie, I guess. that brings me to Event Horizon, which actually came out in 1997, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. No relation to P.T. Anderson.
Or Wes Anderson.
Or Wes Anderson. It's damn Anderson boys.
Them Anderson boys are at it again.
Starring Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill. So apparently this was like, it's effectively a B sci-fi movie about, you know, the Event Horizon's the first ship, if I remember it correctly, to get like warp drive effectively. And they like warped and then that's it. They were gone. And then, this other ship finds that, like, it shows up, like, you know, 20 years in the future.
Right.
It comes back. So they send the ship to go investigate.
Yes.
And it's awesome. That's another kind of, like, they're all vaguely the same plot. Like, seven people by themselves, shit goes wrong, aliens happen.
Yeah.
But it's handled really well. This Event Horizon is much more of a horror sci-fi movie than Europa Report.
Okay.
I think. Europa Report's got a sort of like not happy ending, but like it ends on a higher note, like,
sure,
triumph of man kind of thing, you know, humanity, we made it.
Yes.
Event Horizon's, yeah, no, okay, it's bad news.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen the entirety of Event Horizon, but I've seen bits of it. Mm-hmm. And what I saw seemed very ridiculous and silly.
Yeah, it is very like, I don't know if I want to, nah, it's like, that's the kind of the whole twist of the movie, so I won't say that, but it is very much like if Alien was about demons.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. It's really freaking weird and super gory and like kind of over the top and like in that B fashion.
Right. Paul W. That was one of Paul W. Anderson's first movie, if not his first. He went on to direct most of the Resident Evil movies.
Hey, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
So.
Yep. Yep, that fits in a lot, actually. But it's cool because it's Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne who are, like, awesome actors. They play it very seriously, which is funny. So, I don't know. It is good. It's watch it if you want, like, just silly B-sci-fi, but actually hard, like, actually really scary.
Fair enough. All right. So, should we get into it?
Yes.
All right.
It's time to get furious.
And fast.
And fast.
Not in that order, though. We're going to get fast first, and then we're going to get furious.
Okay.
At least for some of them, because some of them were just going to be fast. Some of them were just going to be furious.
That's right.
All right. So to recap, I talked about the Fast and the Furious, the first one, a while ago on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the last episode.
Yeah. And I think it was two episodes ago, actually.
I don't remember.
And my desire was to broadcast my journey through the Fast series through every episode.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't really happen. But I had never seen any of them before.
Coming in blind.
So I talked about the first one, and I'm going to talk about all of them now. To recap what I thought about the first one, it was fine.
It's an action movie from that whatever. When did that come out? Like
2001.
2001.
I think the first one is a really good first 45 minutes.
Because
mm-hmm. You get into that underground world of street racing, and it's really interesting, and it's really fun, and you have... The Paul Walker Vin Diesel dynamic, which is the thrust of the entire series.
Yeah.
And I think the first 45 minutes of the Fast and the Furious is a really fun time. Once you find out Paul Walker is a cop, I think it deflates a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually brings the movie down a peg. But
overall,
I really enjoyed that movie. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Moving on, though, I'm going to go to Too Fast, Too Furious. Where they're a little too fast.
Just need to calm down, man.
Yeah, it's you gotta chill.
Too furious.
You're too fast, man. You're too furious. Too Fast, Too Furious is directed by John Singleton, and it's mostly lousy.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one very much.
So that one, Vin Diesel's not in that one.
Right.
That is Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson.
Right.
Now, Tyrese Gibson would later rejoin the franchise in the later movies,
mm-hmm.
But he... is first introduced in Too Fast, Too Furious. Ludacris' character is also introduced in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Has the advent of Ludafro.
The Ludafro.
Hashtag Ludafro.
Yeah, hashtag Ludafro. Ludacris' afro is amazing.
It's the best part of the movie.
Yeah, it's incredible. But anyway, Too Fast, Too Furious is about Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson having to work with Eva Mendes to take down a drug runner.
Mm-hmm.
So
repeat for the next five movies.
Yeah. So yeah, even as early on as the second movie, they were pretty much far away from the street racing stuff.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, there is some racing in there.
Yeah. Tyrese Gibson is definitely the best character, or Roman, whatever his name is.
Yes. Thing about Too Fast, Too Furious, Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson are great together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really funny. They have a lot of good chemistry.
Yeah.
So they're good to watch on screen.
Right.
Like, they're enjoyable. Past that, though, the movie is, nonsensical.
It's the movie that removes the franchise from Earth.
Yeah, it gets... really weirdly serious, like, at certain times. Like, there's this weird torture scene.
Really? I don't even remember
that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of weird stuff. And there's the occasional fun action scene. The climax is kind of fun when Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson, drive their car off a ramp above a lake mm-hmm. and onto a boat.
Imagine, I like that simple of a stunt is the climax of Too Fast, Too Furious. And where they're going to go.
Exactly.
That's pretty ridiculous.
But for the most part, it's a pretty lousy movie.
Yeah.
It was the
death knell for, at the time, they're done.
Yeah, it was going to be it. That's directed by John Singleton, and the racing in this movie is so different from the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first one, everything kind of looks real-ish.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even in the later ones, there's some CGI assistance.
Yeah.
But for the most part, those are real cars getting destroyed.
Yeah.
You know?
Looks like it, at least.
It at least looks like it.
Yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious doesn't even try to do that.
Really?
It looks CGI, the entire time. And that occasionally allows them to do some cool camera movements.
Right.
But it's at the expense of, realism.
Mm-hmm.
Which, realism is not something that the Fast and Furious movies necessarily need.
No, they were never heralded for that.
But I like being able to know that a car is there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
As opposed to not there.
Exactly.
It takes you out of the scene.
Yeah,
if that's the case.
I agree.
In any case, that's Too Fast, Too Furious. Mostly a lousy entry into the series.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move on into The Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift. This was the first film in the series directed by Justin Lin, who would go on to direct the next three.
Really?
So, yeah, he is
I didn't know that.
One of the main guys, like one of the main guys who made Fast and Furious what it is.
Right.
This is also the first one written by Chris Morgan, who has also written everyone since then.
Okay. So he's a 16-year-old boy.
Yes. There's actually a back when Fast 5 came out, there was a great Onion sketch.
Uh-huh.
It was like newscasters like interviewing the writer of the Fast and Furious movies, and it was like the 6-year-old kid. And he's like, "Oh yeah, these cars are going to go fast. They're going to go."
That's awesome. Oh man, it reminds me. It sort of reminded me. There's that SNL skit. I think it's Andy Samberg is playing the boob advisor for Game of Thrones. And he's just like 14-year-old kid. He's like, I make sure there's lots of boobs on the show. And he just kind of was like, that's the guy who wrote Fast and the Furious.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift is completely separate from the entire rest of the series, which makes it a really interesting thing. So I guess after Too Fast, Too Furious, which I'm sure did fine. I'm sure it made money.
Probably.
But it was terrible.
Yeah.
So I guess they wanted to relocate, do something different.
Right. And reinvigorate
it. Yeah. So they ended up doing Tokyo Drift.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this new character. His name was Sean, played by Lucas Black. And
who's the worst?
Yeah, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
But they took the action to Tokyo. Basically, that movie's about Lucas Black is this kid in high school. He's a troublemaker. Gets into this race at the beginning of the movie with this other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up getting caught by the police, and it's not his first offense. And he gets sent to live in Tokyo for some reason.
They just deport him.
Yeah, it's basically it's all right. You can either go to jail, or you can go live in Tokyo. And it's like,
I guess
that makes sense. I'll go to Tokyo.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Dystopian
future.
He goes to live with his dad in Tokyo. And while there, he gets involved in Tokyo street racing because it's a Fast and Furious movie.
It's the rules.
And he gets involved, like the Yakuza and Han is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Tokyo Drift is the movie that introduces Han to the series.
Right.
Tokyo Drift is a lot better than Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
I don't think Tokyo Drift is that good.
That's going to be the underlying trend for these movies for a while.
For a little bit. Tokyo Drift is actually, the races are really good.
Okay.
Justin Lin's direction, like, elevates this movie so much.
Mm-hmm.
The opening race with Sean racing against this other kid from high school,
mm-hmm.
one of the best races of the entire series.
Wow.
Like, it's set to a Bawa Da Ba by Kid Rock.
Are you serious?
It is.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
And it's so much fun. It's so cool. And I kind of wish the entire movie was not in Tokyo. I kind of wish it was in high school just racing assholes.
I will give, I guess, Fast and the Furious, I don't know if it's like credit or it's whatever, but it's very much, I don't know if this might actually be a critique, but it's like a product of its era every time the movie comes out.
I agree with
that. Like it has very, whatever super relevant pop music.
Yeah.
But now, however, that makes me think. They just take money from whoever and everybody they can. And we'll put your shit in our movie if you give us money. And so there's just product placement like at every chance and
possibly
pop songs
but,
and stuff.
Yes. And Tokyo Drift is actually it basically throws off the entire timeline of the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah,
about this. Han dies in Tokyo Drift.
Right.
But is then present in Fast and Furious, Fast 5, and Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
So
prequels.
Those are all prequels to Tokyo Drift now.
Yeah, I would need one of those like Interstellar style infographics of the timeline of this franchise.
Yeah, we need to do you want to just put a pencil through your paper?
Like yeah. And what's a circle in three dimensions?
This is a wormhole.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I need that.
It's like Interstellar and Event Horizon. They actually do that in that movie too.
They do, you're right, yeah. That's right.
In any case, Tokyo Drift. The story is basically nonsensical, which is something that happens in Too Fast and in Fast and Furious also.
Yeah.
It's just like these nonsensical balls of nonsense.
Just don't give up. Yeah.
Yeah. But in any case, Tokyo Drift is at least fun to watch for its racing scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the movie, Vin Diesel shows up.
Yeah.
To say like, and that's actually an interesting, thing.
Interesting story.
Yes. So Vin Diesel shows up at the end of Tokyo Drift, but that was not originally the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Vin Diesel wanted money to make another Riddick movie.
Right.
This was like 2 years after Chronicles of Riddick came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the franchise that's like closest to his heart.
Yeah.
It's the one he does like always.
Boy. Yeah.
And so he had left Fast and Furious, but Universal wanted him back. So in exchange for giving him money for another Riddick movie, which came out in like 2010.
Yeah.
In exchange for giving him that money, he would agree to star in another Fast and Furious movie, which is why he's in the fourth one.
Right.
And in order to signify, to show people that he will be in the fourth one, they had him cameo at the end of the third one.
The third one, right.
So I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But that's Tokyo Drift.
We'll come back to this.
We will come back to Tokyo Drift, because Tokyo Drift's actually an integral part of the plot of Furious 7.
It is.
Anyway, moving on to the fourth one, Fast Ampersand Furious. Fast Ampersand Furious is a movie that is terrible.
I don't even have time for articles.
Exactly. Fast and Furious is a total bore. Like, it's
really? I haven't seen this one.
Okay. Fast and Furious, I couldn't tell you anything about it.
It just happened.
I watched it like a week ago. I could not tell you anything that happens in this movie. Then it's got Vin Diesel and Paul Walker again, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's really boring.
All right.
Like, there's no structure to its story. There's no beginning, middle, and end. It's just kind of a series of events that happen.
Right. With, like, cars.
With cars. And this was the last one in the franchise to kind of really focus on the racing aspect of it.
Okay. Is Terry Gibson and Ludacris, like, is the whole crew there?
Nope.
No?
It's Vin Diesel and Paul Walker. Han is there at the beginning.
Okay.
He's in, like, the first 20 minutes. This is actually the movie that introduces Giselle also.
Oh, okay.
And the two Spanish-speaking dudes from Fast Five are in this
one,
too.
They're in this one, okay.
But, yeah, like, there's no Ludacris, there's no Tyrese.
Mm-hmm.
And Han is only in the first 20 minutes, so...
So it's not even worth it.
Yeah, literally, like, in the first 20 minutes, like, Han helps Vin Diesel out with a job, and then, like, Vin Diesel's like, well, I guess you gotta go, Han. And Han's like, yeah, I hear they're doing pretty great things in Tokyo. And then he leaves to die.
Wait,
except not, because...
Well, I was like, wait, does that mean this takes place
before
5 and 6? I mean, if...
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6 are sequential. But Tokyo Drift is after.
Or
six.
I meant after. That's what I meant. After.
No. No, that's not what happens.
Because if he leaves to go to Tokyo in the beginning of 4, and then is in 5 and 6,
I guess he goes back to Tokyo.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think I'm assuming the plan was not to have Han return for Fast Five.
Right. Or make a Fast Five.
or even make a Fast Five. Yeah, you're right. But I guess the plan was not to have Han return, and they ended up having him return. But in Fast and Furious, they have that line, so they can be like, oh, there goes Han.
Yep.
He's going to go die now.
Yeah, in case you forgot, he's dead.
But yeah, Fast and Furious, totally nonsensical. Like, it's complete trash. But that gave way into...
The glory.
Because Fast Five is where these movies get amazing.
Yes, correct.
You know, it's very rare for a franchise to become... It's best at its fifth movie.
Yeah. That's outrageous that happened.
But it did. They completely recalibrated the entire series.
Yeah. They just gave up on it.
Or
the formula, I mean.
Yeah. It's not about street racing anymore.
Nope.
It had barely been about street racing since the first one anyway.
Yeah.
And now it just became a series of awesome heist movies.
Yeah. With The Rock.
with The Rock, and that involve cars. Like,
yep.
That's
it. That's all it takes now.
So Fast Five is this... Ocean's 11 style heist.
It is. You're right.
Where Vin Diesel and Paul Walker have to get their crew together to pull off this one last job.
The final job.
To make $100 million. And that's when they bring... I knew Fast Five was great.
Mm-hmm.
About 40 minutes in.
Okay.
And I was really enjoying it for that 40 minutes. But I knew it was great when Vin Diesel said, I got to bring my crew together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crew started showing up. And they were all characters from movies that were terrible. And I was super excited
and
to
you
see
were
them.
Pumped. Yes. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, like, Tyrese Gibson showed up, and Ludacris showed up, and Han showed up, Giselle showed up, and I was like, wow, all these people from movies that I hated.
And you're still pumped.
And I was like, yeah.
Yep. That's how you know it's going to be good.
Exactly. No, these were. Fast Five is really awesome. It ups the ante in a big way. Plus, The Rock is in it.
Right.
And The Rock is. Sort of the villain of this movie, although he comes around in the climax, so he's part of the action, so to speak. But he's a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He has one of my favorite lines in the entire series, actually. Probably my favorite line.
What is it?
It's in his first scene when he's like investigating like this crime scene.
Yeah.
And the guy comes up to him and is like, good news, bad news. And Rock says, you know, I like my dessert first.
And, oh my God.
And then the guy gives him the good news. And then the Rock says, now give me the damn veggies.
Oh my God. Wow. The 16-year-old boy.
Exactly.
Holy crap.
Like, I feel like the writing process for the Fast and Furious movies has to be like a bunch of dudes just getting together and be like, all right, we need to have cars. We need to have butts.
Yeah.
Hip-hop. Hip-hop music. Now, what can we do that's absolutely ridiculous that we would love?
How many stupid one-liners?
How many terrible one-liners?
Incomplete metaphors.
Yeah. How many great one-liners? How many, like, crazy action scenes can we fit into one thing?
Yeah.
And they go do it. And it's got to be, like, the best writing process of all time.
Yeah.
It feels like the type of movie that I would make. If I wanted to make an action movie, it would be something along those lines.
Serious.
But so Fast Five is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's balls out insanity.
I think that's when they just, like...
Yeah. The climax of this movie is Vin Diesel and Paul Walker just pulling this giant safe...
Towing a safe.
...through the streets of Brazil. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just yanking the safe everywhere. It's like destroying buildings and everything.
It's we've pointed out in our discussions that everything in the Fast and the Furious universe is made of glass.
Yeah.
Everything
yes.
shatters.
There's nothing in the Fast and Furious universe that can't be broken through.
Correct. Even the Jordanian prince's lockdown safe in Fast 7, he just drives through the wall. Like, how is that possible? It's a safe.
Yes, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that. But so, Fast 5, awesome. Love it. Next up, Fast and Furious 6.
Mm-hmm.
Also awesome.
Yeah, that was
It's also
good.
Really good. Probably not as good as Fast 5, I would say. But it's a lot of fun to watch, and, you know, The Rock is still great in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that amazing jet sequence. The never-ending runway.
Yeah. The infinite runway.
Yes. So it's got that going for it. I don't really have much else to say about Fast 6 other than it's like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So Fast 5 and Fast 6, really enjoyable films.
Mm-hmm.
So overall view of the series, they get progressively worse and they get progressively better.
Whoa, man. Whoa.
Or just about. I mean, yeah, it's a very uneven series for the first four. Like, it's pretty unremarkable, I think.
Yeah.
Like, 1 and 3 I thought were pretty fun,
mm-hmm.
but nothing to write home about.
No.
But, so it's a pretty unremarkable series up to that point. And then Fast 5 just knocks things into 12th gear.
Fast 5 kind of just came out to 12th gear. Damn it. It kind of just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did. Like, it totally
it just kinda got
took me by surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I knew... That Fast 5 was the one where everybody decided, wow, this is a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, these are great movies.
That's when the public opinion turned, I guess.
Yeah. But like, I was surprised by how like taken aback I was by Fast 5. Like,
yeah.
It was just so much fun. And Fast 6 as well, also a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So now, we got to move on, man.
Do we?
Yes. So, Vin Diesel asked me not to read this. But God damn it.
But you're
going to
do
I'm it. I'm going to read it anyway. Because I wrote it, and it is the truth.
It's the truth. The people deserve to know.
I fucking love Furious 7. It is the best movie ever, period. Ladies and gentlemen, Furious 7.
The most important thing in life will always be the people right here, right now. That's what's real. Hello?
Dominic Toretto. You don't know me.
You're about to.
Who did this? Remember Earnshaw? This is Big Bad Brother. He's a special forces assassin that created a monster. Like the sins of London have followed us home.
We're being hunted.
Shaw lives in a world that doesn't play by your rules.
And like it or not, you and your friends are a part of it now.
I don't have friends. I got family.
That was from the trailer for Furious 7, and that joke was from Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny. Furious 7 is the latest film in the Fast and Furious franchise. It's the first one not to be directed by Justin Lin in, like, almost 10 years.
Except for the three that weren't before it.
The two that weren't.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, but, like, in since 2003.
Math. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so this one is directed by James Wan, director of The Conjuring and Saw and Insidious. So mostly a horror guy.
Yeah.
Although he also did Death Sentence which is a car.
I love.
Yeah, you're a big fan of Death Sentence. So, I mean, so Mike, I've already expressed my opinion on Furious 7.
Need you say more?
I think we can just end this podcast right now.
Just shut it down.
But what did you think of Furious 7?
So, I liked it a lot. I don't know, man. I like that it is just a mindless action movie. Like, it's fun to sometimes just be like, I'm going to set my brain to explosion mode and just drink in what happens. Which, and that's what this movie delivers on that level. Like, it's awesome. Like, it is just stuff blowing up and Vin Diesel not knowing how to use his tongue and just kind of muttering, mumbling.
Marble mouth.
Marveling through.
Marbling through mumbles.
Like I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Whoa, meta. Pretend it's on purpose. No one will know. But I don't know. I don't think I could be like, yeah, this is the greatest movie ever. I'm not as enthusiastic as you are, at least.
Okay. All right.
That being said, I really liked it.
Okay. In my opinion, Furious 7 is an American masterpiece.
Son of a bitch.
I'm only half joking when I say that. I think it's... I mean, I enjoyed Justin Lin's work on his four movies.
Yeah.
With the exception of the fourth one, because that one's terrible. But... Like that's a fairly, like, the action scenes in that movie are fairly well directed. I'm not trying to put him down.
Yeah, but it sucks.
But yeah, that's a bit lame. But James Wan,
yes,
easily the best director working on these movies.
Absolutely,
his work in this movie is unreal.
Astounding.
It's incredible.
It's pretty amazing. Actually, you got a lot to say about that.
You're gonna think this is hyperbole, but coming out of Furious 7, I had the same feeling that I had coming out of The Dark Knight. The Avengers.
What? Are you serious?
Like, it was the perfect blockbuster movie.
Oh, my God. No, you're the reason they have so many Transformer movies.
No. I hate the Transformer movies, man. Transformer movies are terrible.
I know.
Furious 7, though, just is such an amazing ride. Like, I loved every second of this movie. Just from its opening scene. To its beautiful ending.
Okay. All right. So I agree with you that it's amazing. Like, the action and everything, like, it's awesome. If, like, they could just bump the writing up from, like, high school to college level, I'd be in. But I can't get past the 16-year-old boy level of college. Like, I can't do it.
I personally enjoy that. I think it's...
It's laughably bad. Like, we were, like... Things that, I mean, I guess they're supposed to be funny, but they're just, like, I couldn't do it.
I think some of those one-liners were some of the best one-liners I've ever heard. It's just, like, I loved this movie, man. And, you know, I felt like Furious 7 was the perfect culmination of everything the series has been working towards.
Okay, yeah.
And I mean that in a way that's, like, I get that the first four of these movies are not great.
And it's like they know.
Yeah.
Which is why they went and retconned them.
A little bit, yeah. But 5, 6, and 7, I feel like, make, like, the perfect action trilogy.
That's true, actually.
Of, like, anything.
You went 1, 5, 6, 7.
1, 5, 6, 7. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
But the thing is, like...
I guess 1, 3, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, you kind of need Tokyo Drift for this one, too. And also, the second one introduces Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris.
God damn it. Why'd they make such a...
It's such a weird
continuous.
This entire series is so weird. It's like they accidentally created a Marvel universe.
That's exactly what those movies are. You're right. That's exactly what they are. Like, oh shit!
It was like, okay,
this.
we did the first one. Vin Diesel doesn't want to come back for the second one. So let's bring in these other characters with Paul Walker. So it's like, ah, cool. Oh, yeah. We're still doing these. And then let's do this other movie because Paul Walker doesn't want to come back for this one.
Yeah.
So we'll do this other movie. We'll do this other movie that will have like this other whole cast of characters. And then, oh, let's have this other movie. Well, we'll bring a character back from this movie. So it's like, cool. And then Fast Five, we'll just bring all the characters back.
So for our last movie, we decided we're just going to bring everyone back. Oh, how much money did we make? Okay, we're going to do one more movie where we bring everyone back.
All right, let's do one more.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So, yeah. Furious 7, though, one of the best action movies I've seen in forever. Like, I really think it's incredible.
Take that back. John Wick is better.
John Wick is amazing. I'm not putting down John Wick.
I'm just going to try to use every opportunity to bring that movie up.
I'm not putting down John Wick.
All right.
Furious 7's better.
What? You son of a bitch. I actually read a... totally unrelated, but just this morning on Reddit, somebody posted a thing on our movies that if they don't want John Wick 2, it's kind of related to this, they want a Continental series about all of the assassins that were staying in the Continental and, yeah, like, make it about that universe. So if they unintentionally make a Marvel-style universe a la Fast and Furious.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
That would be very cool.
I'm down.
Back
to Fast Furious.
Yes,
Fast 7.
Back to Fast
Furious,
7.
Furious 7.
Furious 7.
No,
yes.
It's not just about being fast anymore.
It's not just about being fast anymore. That's a line in the movie.
That's a line in the movie. Oh,
yes.
My God. I think they're totally self-aware by this point.
Yeah. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it perfectly.
Yeah.
I think Vin Diesel's in this movie. I think Vin Diesel's work in this one is the best one since the first one.
Like,
okay.
Sure.
Well, here's the thing.
I haven't seen that in 10 years, so I believe it.
Here's the thing. Vin Diesel in the first movie is, like, a real character.
Yeah, that was kind of when he was, like, a thing still.
Yeah.
Like, more than just, like, a caricature of himself.
Right. And Vin Diesel in that first movie, like, Dominic Toretto is, like, he feels like a real character.
Yeah.
And not to put him down throughout the rest of the series, I was excited to see him at the end of Tokyo Drift. Mm-hmm. He's in it for, like, a minute. But 4, 5, and 6, like, I never buy for a second that he is... capable of leading a group.
That exists.
A human that exists, or like a person that's capable of leading a group.
What if this is all
like he seems like he's more well suited to being like the muscle of any kind of group.
Yeah. Yes.
But Fury 7 kind of brings him back into the forefront in a big way, and Vin Diesel I think does his best work in this movie since the first one.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my humble opinion.
That's your opinion.
Anyway, the reason you want to see Fury 7 is because of the action scenes.
Yeah.
And the action is amazing in this movie. It's so good. It's so good, Mike.
How good is it?
It's so good. It's so good. It's my Jimmy Fallon impression.
Oh, God.
It's so great. It's so great.
As someone who's currently trying to court Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, that's true. If anybody
you might want to tone it down a little.
Wants to share this video unrelated to our Furious 7, me and a couple of friends are trying to get Jimmy Fallon to star in one of our projects.
For school,
because he was an alumni of the college I go to, St. Rose. So,
you
know, so far, no luck. probably not going to happen now.
No. Yeah. You blew your chance because he totally listens.
Yeah, totally.
How good does he think the podcast is?
He thinks it's so good. It's so good, guys. It's so good. But anyway, this
the action is really good.
The action is so good. There's this incredible car skydiving sequence.
Yeah.
That is.
Because you can control cars in midair, apparently.
You can if you're Vin Diesel
his
crew.
Right.
Vin Diesel,
right.
Look,
he's an airbender, basically.
He's an airbender.
Yeah.
These movies have fully embraced the fact that they do not take place on Earth.
Yeah. They've left.
There is no world in which the stuff that happens in these movies could happen in real life.
Yeah.
And they've embraced that. It's awesome. Fast Five, I think, was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm. Yeah, that was when they were like, let's pretend physics doesn't exist.
Yes. Let's drag a safe through the entire street.
A whole city,
hill.
Yeah.
The thing is, that's something that could, like,
maybe
almost
happen.
Plausibly happen.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. It's Fast 6 where it's like, all right, physics are out the window.
Yeah, we're taking down a giant plane.
This runway is going to be 30 miles long.
Yeah, and only ends when the plane crashes.
Yeah, only ends right when the plane ends.
Yep. Their mutual need for each other stopped.
Yes. The runway can only exist if the plane exists.
Correct. It's actually Contemplation on physics.
Exactly. It's a real, beautiful symbiotic relationship. Yeah. If you think about it.
That's right.
Furious 7 throws physics completely out the window, for the better.
Paul, the bus, and it's in the trailer though. The
When he like running
runs up the bus as
like,
it's falling. Well,
it's falling off the cliff. It's the coolest thing ever.
It's pretty. Badass. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone in this movie gets something to do. One of the things that's really cool about these movies is the ensemble works so well together.
The crew is awesome.
The crew is great, and everyone gets their own thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone gets something to do throughout the movie. Right. Nobody feels left out.
Nobody's just kind of there.
Yeah. So, I mean, Han is missed
yes.
in this movie.
Yes, we'll talk about that, I guess.
Yes. So, I mean, we've already kind of talked about it, so I think it's not really a spoiler.
No.
Because that's actually the end credit scene of Fast and Furious 6 is when Han dies in Tokyo Drift
right.
and reveal that it's Jason Statham's was behind it.
Yeah.
Which
we should point out, all the shit that Han is able to do and live through in 4, 5, and 6 at least
yeah,
gets simply T-boned at the end of Tokyo Drift and dies.
Well, he also, I think his car also blows up.
Right, but he lives through all this other shit, totally fine, but he gets T-boned and is, like, incapacitated and can't get out of his car.
I think it's a little weird that, like, 4, 5, and 6.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
4, 5, and 6 are, like, these big action movies, especially 5 and 6, that Han's, like, in on the action and he's, like, going through all this crazy shit.
Yeah.
And then he leaves, helps a kid out with some street racing for a while,
and then dies.
And then dies.
He's the tragic hero of this whole movie. He's the most sad character.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if, I guess we'll save it for spoilers. I don't know. Are we going to do spoilers?
Yeah, we're going to do spoilers. We'll probably get into that in a second.
Okay.
But what was I saying? Han is missed.
Han's missed, yeah.
Yes. But this movie actually is the first one to take place after Tokyo Drift.
Right.
Because Han dies in Tokyo Drift. And the end credits scene of Fast and Furious 6 is Han dying with Jason Statham being behind the killing.
Right.
Which was a retcon.
Yeah.
Because in the third movie, he's just died.
He just like, blows up.
Yeah. The plots of the first, like, 4 or 5 movies are completely jumbled
just
up in
don't
my head.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't remember why he died, but I remember he died.
We were specifically talking about how every crew member gets their own thing.
Yes, every crew member does get their own thing. And Han is missed, but, I mean, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, amazing.
Beautiful. I want them to star in every movie together.
Yeah, they're trying to make a spinoff of their characters.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
That's actually, like, I think Ludacris was talking about it. Like,
I would watch the shit out of that
to
movie.
Do that. And The Rock wants to do a spinoff of his character, too. So what? Yeah, like
all right. I guess that would just be like a G.I. Joe type movie where he's just leading a team of assassins.
Probably, be awesome.
I wouldn't say no. Hobbs is pretty awesome.
What?
Hobbs is a pretty great character.
Hobbs is a pretty awesome character. Yeah. I love him. Yeah. The Rock in these movies is incredible. One of the things I assumed when I got into these movies was that they would get good, but The Rock showed up.
Yeah,
and that's true.
And it happened.
Yeah, but I thought they would get good because The Rock showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually not the case. The movies actually just got good on their own. Like independent.
And he happened to be there.
And The Rock just happened to show up also, and that was great.
Yeah, correct.
But in any case, yeah, everyone gets something to do. The action in this movie, like I talked about the car skydiving scene. I'll probably talk about that more in spoilers. And there's some incredible stuff. There's the scene in the trailer where Vin Diesel drives a car through a building into another building.
Two buildings. What was the line that the guy had? Two buildings is insult, three is an honor.
Yeah.
Which is actually a really great one-liner they had.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
And the hand-to-hand combat in this movie.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. That's not really something they've delved into too much in the past movies. They did that a little bit in 6.
Mm-hmm. And they had Gina Carano.
Yeah, Gina Carano was there, so they had to have something.
Right.
But there's a lot more in this movie, and it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's some of the best scenes in the movie. Early on in the movie, The Rock fights Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Which was incredible. Vin Diesel and Jason Statham have a fight towards the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey.
The
MMA fighter has one scene. And yeah, it's a little extraneous, but it's awesome.
It's still really no. I was gonna say it's awesome though. I didn't know. I actually hadn't seen Fast 6 till we just watched it. That Gina Carano is in that, so that's actually really cool. Like that, these female MMA fighters are transitioning into action movies.
Yeah, definitely.
And Fast and the Furious series is like aiding that, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really cool. It's a very weird scene, but it was still cool.
Yes, and I should also talk about Jason Statham. Who is, I think, the best villain of the entire series.
the only one you remember.
Exactly. I still don't think he gets that much to do.
Not really.
Is the thing.
He's just invincible bad guy.
Yeah, well, he has an incredible intro. and which I'll talk about in spoilers. But he has an incredible intro, and he has way more screen presence than any villain in this entire series.
Yeah.
Because every villain in this series, like, I cannot tell you a single thing about. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that most of them are drug runners or evil racers.
That's kind of it.
And that's kind of it. Like, there's not that much
variety.
There's not much variety, and there's not much dimensions to those characters.
Right.
And there's not much dimension to Jason Statham either. He's just, like, an unstoppable killing machine.
Right.
But
he does that so well.
He does that so well. And yeah, like for the most part, like he's not in that much of the movie is the thing.
No.
But he is like, but his presence is always felt, I think, which is important.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's at least that. And yeah, in addition to that, there's some great callbacks to the entire series, but specifically the first film, particularly towards the end, which I'll get into with spoilers.
Should we talk about James Wan now? Or more about James Wan?
Sure, we should talk more about James Wan. We can never talk enough about James Wan.
That's right.
James Wan is a horror guy.
Yeah.
You know, mostly done horror movies, and he's great at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that actually is what aids Furious 7 tremendously.
Absolutely. He's the one.
He is the guy who elevates this movie immensely.
Yeah.
And I like Justin Lin. I liked him, and I liked what he did. But I think he's more of like a workman-like, like just kind of do what you're told kind of guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, James Wan can be that. He probably was that for this movie. Mm-hmm.
He's going to put his own stuff
in. He brings something else to it, man.
Yeah.
One of the things about horror movies that James Wan does so well, you have to create suspense.
Right.
Suspense is something that has to, like, exist in horror, or else horror will fail.
Right.
And he brings that sense of suspense to Furious 7, I think.
Yeah.
Like, everything feels, like, intense. The stakes feel like they've never been higher.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's so good.
And I think, you know, I'm going to make this bold leap that since he's a horror director, he's influenced by Sam Raimi.
Yes, I definitely could see Sam Raimi in there.
Definitely see that. And I only say that because he has, I think, for me at least, some of the most, besides like Sam Raimi, the most distinct camera movements. Sam Raimi has the style where it's like you're going to zoom in real fast and camera's going to tilt sideways.
Yes.
And that happens at one point in this movie where Paul Walker, you know, comes into his stairwell and the camera zooms all the way back to see how far the stairwell is.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
Yes. And there's during the hand-to-hand combat scenes, actually, there's some incredible camera work where the camera will just follow the person falling to the ground.
Yeah, they tumble.
And, like, the camera will tumble with them. And it's so cool.
Yeah. There's also a thing in Death Race I was kind of hoping they were going to do a similar thing. There's a foot chase that happens through a parking garage, and it's all one take from it's Kevin Bacon being chased by a bunch of gang members, and he runs from the bottom of the parking garage all the way up the levels to the roof, whatever, and it's all one single take, and there's just, you could see the camera, there's moments where the camera gets, like, you could see, like, get passed to the different cameramen on different levels.
Really?
Yeah, you could just see it's like a little bit of bump as it gets handed. It's awesome, though. Like, it totally feels amazing.
That's cool.
As Kevin Bacon is just, like, winded and tumbling and, like, can't do it because he's old. But there's that. I was hoping a similar thing was going to happen in the scene when Paul Walker's being chased through that, like, mill at the end when the stairwell scene thing happened.
Right, right.
I was hoping it was going to be all one take, but it wasn't.
Yeah. All right, I think we should probably get into spoilers because we've talked about a lot of things in, like, a generic kind of fashion.
Yes.
So let's move on into spoilers for Furious 7.
Future.
All right, so let's talk spoilers for Furious 7.
Okay.
One of the things that I thought was a little unnecessary... Mm-hmm. Why did Letty leave for, like, 30 minutes and then come back? Do you remember early on in the movie?
I don't even remember that happening.
Letty, Michelle Rodriguez's character, Letty, yes, is still suffering from amnesia from the events of Furious 6.
Really, Furious 4, I think.
Yeah, I guess, to recap that series, Letty dies in Furious 4, Fast and Furious,
Fast and Percent Furious.
And then in the end credits of Fast 5... The Rock discovers that she's still alive.
Right.
Fast and Furious 6 is about them trying to get her back into the fold.
Right.
But she has amnesia and doesn't remember anything.
Yep.
And Furious 7 is, like, the continuation of that journey.
Right. So she leaves?
Yeah, really, like, when does that happen? They visit her grave.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And then she says, I have to leave. I have to be on my own. And, like, a half hour later, she's like, well, I'm back.
Oh, JK, I'm back. Yeah, that's right.
And there's no, like, in between that time, Han dies, and that's presumably why she comes back.
Right.
But then it's like, why did you ever leave in the first place?
Yeah, good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what was the point of that?
Doesn't make any sense.
But that's a minor thing. And
can we talk about Han's death and the timeline and how that ruins it?
Sure. What do you have against this?
Well, it doesn't ruin it. It makes it weird because that movie came out, 10 years ago? Right?
2006.
2006.
People in that movie are using flip phones.
Yeah.
to record, like, the races.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Han dies in 2006.
Well, he died in that movie in 2006.
Okay, well, okay.
That movie takes place today, though.
Right. Literally the beginning of this movie, whatever, I can't remember. I don't know when it happens in the movie. So, in the beginning of this movie... Vin Diesel gets the call from Jason Statham, and he's like, Dominic Toretto, you don't know me, but you will. Boom, and shit blows up.
Yeah.
And then goes to get Han's body, like to bring it back.
Yes.
The family's got to be together.
Yes, and that's the ending of Tokyo Drift.
Right, that's where Tokyo Drift ends. But it happens at the beginning of this movie, because they got to remind everybody. So then Vin Diesel, in Furious 7, goes to Tokyo to collect the body, and that's when we have Lucas Black. Was that the character?
Yes.
Guy's name?
Lucas Black played Sean.
Sean, right. He has a cameo because he's, you know, still in Tokyo. Yeah. So he's going to get his body, which presumably would be a couple days after he died.
Yes.
And Lucas Black is 10 years older. And, like, noticeably older.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
So, in the span of a few days,
I mean, it was probably not a great idea to show archive footage from Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, like, they show him as a teen. He's in high school.
Yeah.
And then he's 10 years older. So, it doesn't ruin the movie. It just kind of breaks the, like, oh, this is all happening at once kind of thing.
Only a little bit.
It's just funny.
Yeah, I think his cameo is fine. Like, it's kind of cool to see him. Again, I hated him in Tokyo Drift.
And he's got the dumbest accent of all time.
The dumbest accent ever. And he's a boring character anyway, but, like, his accent's just annoying to listen to.
Yeah.
But, like, it was kind of cool just to see him because, like, it's all
connected. Yeah, it was cool.
You know, whatever. And so, I mean, Tokyo Drift is actually an integral part of this movie.
Yes. It's like the whole motivation for the plot.
Yeah, it really is, actually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's talk about Jason Statham's opening scene.
Okay.
Because it's the greatest scene of all time.
I guess that was my one take James Wan thing.
There you go. Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah.
It
sort of reminded me of the opening. Well, I guess we could explain it.
Yeah. The opening scene is Jason Statham in a hospital with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother from the last movie.
Yep.
It's
all beat up.
He's all beat up in the hospital bed. And he's like, oh, I'm going to avenge you, brother. I'm going to avenge you. And then,
basically,
and then he's like, he talks to, like, the nurse and he's like, you're about to take care of him or I'll come back. And then he starts walking out and, like, the camera, like, pans out to show, like,
the hospital.
Him as he's walking out around the hospital. The entire place is destroyed and on fire. Things are blowing up everywhere.
Just dead bodies everywhere.
Yeah. And it's
he just hands a guy a grenade, says, hold this, and keeps walking. It's insane. Insane.
It's so much fun. Like, it's the best intro of any villain. Like,
yeah. It's opening credits of the movie, too, which is awesome. It reminded me of the opening credits to Kingsman.
Oh,
just
yeah.
The long, slow. The only thing this was missing was the words being formed out of the rubble.
Like, that's true.
So I don't know. That's that.
But yeah, no.
It was an awesome intro. And it just sets the mood of this movie is this is what's going to be happening.
Yes. Definitely cool. And it made, like, that intro alone makes Jason Statham the most memorable Fast and Furious villain easily.
Yeah.
And the ending fight between him and Vin Diesel is incredible. I thought that was so cool.
It is a really awesome fight. But then, so they're having a street fight.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. And I'm going to say I disagree with you.
You're
going
to head me off at the pass and say that I'm wrong?
You are wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay. So they're having a street fight on a parking garage because they had a moment earlier where they thought they were going to have a street fight and then Jason Statham pulls a gun.
Right.
So now
Vin Diesel pulls a gun.
And
earlier in the movie, Jason Statham.
Yeah, and he says, what did you think? This was going to be a street fight? And he pulls out a gun. So now they're going to have their final battle. And Vin Diesel pulls a gun this time and says, you think this is going to be a street fight? It is. Shoots his gun for some reason off into the sky and then picks up wrenches.
Because it was cool.
Then they start fighting. And it's actually awesome because it's kind of like a double sword fight.
But with, like, pipe wrenches.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And then Damon Hansu, the other villain in this movie, shows up in his attack helicopter.
Which happens.
They have, apparently. And he shoots a missile and like it blows up the parking garage and it starts to crumble. And Vin Diesel looks at Jason Statham because he's on the other side of the crack in the street.
Yep.
Or in the parking garage. And says, "The thing about street fights, the street always wins." And then stomps on the ground and the thing collapses and kills Jason Statham.
Doesn't kill him.
Doesn't kill him? You're right.
He shows up. He's locked up at the end.
He is locked up at the end because that's the thing that this happens in these movies, apparently.
No, that's good because I want more Jason Statham in these movies.
Well, our friend pointed out that in Fast 6, Giselle falls off the plane and dies.
Yes.
And then Shaw falls off the plane, like the same spot, and lives.
Maybe Giselle's not dead.
Maybe Giselle's not dead.
You never know. Michelle Rodriguez wasn't dead.
That's right. Permadeath does not exist in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, exactly. Lydia wasn't dead, and I feel like there's other people who didn't die.
Died.
I mean, the villain from that movie, I guess. Hobbs should have died like 5 times.
Yeah. Han got retconned, so he didn't. Although now he's dead, I guess.
Han is
dead. He has permadeath.
For now.
For now. Correct.
Yes. Yes. And, yeah, let's talk about...
I think Damon Hansu should have been set up as the villain for Furious 8.
Yeah, I wasn't totally clear on why he shot the street. Like, why he betrayed Jason Statham.
He just says, they just kind of throw it away. He's like,
well, I guess we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, he's like, oh, there's Toretto. And somebody says, Shaw's in the way. And he says, then I guess our friendship's over. And he shoots a missile at him.
Yep.
Just because, I guess.
Don't really know why.
Don't know why.
Yeah, like, yeah, because he was working for Shaw, right?
Well,
like,
they have an enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing.
Okay.
Because they both want Toretto dead because they have the God's Eye.
Right. Well, why did he want Toretto dead?
Which is the MacGuffin. Because they had I don't know.
That's the thing.
Like, I think because they stole Ramsey. Blew up their convoy.
Right. I liked Ramsey.
Yeah.
She was cool.
What's her? Natalie Emmanuel or
something like
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was cool.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, she was.
She's Khaleesi's
person.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, she's got blowed up. Yeah, she's awesome. She's great in this, too.
Yeah, she's really funny.
Yeah.
She was cool. I assume she'll be in Furious 8.
Yeah, if there is one, which I'm sure
Fast and Infuriate.
Oh, my God. That's perfect.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there will be a Furious 8 at some point.
Yeah, this made so much money.
I really hope James Wan comes back to direct it.
Yes, he needs to.
You know, that's kind of up in the air at this point because he's doing The Conjuring 2 next.
Uh-huh.
And then he's apparently in talks to direct Aquaman for DC.
Right.
So
we were discussing this last night that he's another like small indie person that like
which made it big.
Has ascended.
Yeah.
From starting from Saw, which was I think supposed to like just happened to be like a cultural phenomenon.
Exactly,
that
right.
Led to 7 movies. So now he's doing big things.
Yep. So, I mean, that's... So I really hope he comes back for Furious 8.
Yeah.
If he doesn't come back for Furious 8, like, I hope they get somebody, like, as good as him.
Yeah.
Because, I really like Justin Lin, and I liked what he did with it, but I think James Wan, like, really...
He's not distinct enough, Justin
Exactly.
Lin.
James Wan felt like... It feels like a distinctive filmmaker. Mm-hmm. He really brought this movie to, like, another level, which is what, like, really, like, connected with me about this movie, I guess.
Yeah, this is what it needed.
Like, I had a film nerd boner.
whole time.
Throughout the entire movie.
The whole movie.
Like, as somebody who loves action movies, like, this was the perfect,
this
like...
This was the one.
Yeah. It was awesome. We should probably talk about the ending.
Yes.
The movie ends with a tribute to Paul Walker.
It does.
And the tribute's really good. I mean, it's very nice.
It's very touching.
Yeah. It was getting dusty in the theater, so to speak.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, we talked about it. It's kind of weird how...
It's a little like we all know why they did the tribute, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Paul Walker died.
Right.
Obviously, that's why they did the tribute.
Yeah.
And it makes sense for
it is very
us
nice.
In the real world.
Yeah.
But in the context of the film...
It's kind of weird.
It's a little odd.
It's a little weird.
Now, part of the thing that is a through line throughout the movie is that Brian O'Connor is like trying to...
Be a family man.
Trying to be a family man, he's like kind of misses the bullets, as they say. But like, so he's in for these like he misses the excitement, misses the adventure.
Yeah,
he's back for this adventure with Furious 7. But part of the through line of the movie, his arc in the movie is that he needs to be there for his family and needs to understand that that's like more fulfilling
that's
for him.
His job now,
I guess. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a great joke at the beginning of the movie where he's in the car. And like the camera like sets it up so he's about to like start racing.
Yeah.
And then he like moves forward like an inch and drops his kid off from school.
That was actually really awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It's like revving the engine and stuff.
But so at the end of the movie, they decide, like, Dom is like, oh, we can't, you know, you can't be on these missions anymore. this is his place now. And they all kind of have this, like, revenant, like, look at Brian O'Connor.
As he's playing with the son.
On the beach with Mia.
Uh-huh.
And they have this, like, reverent look towards him. And it's, like, we know why it's happening because we know Paul Walker died.
Yeah.
But in the context of the film, like, they have this, like, really emotional thing. And then, like, Vin Diesel leaves and is like, it's not goodbye. And then, like, Brian O'Connor shows up, like, drives up next to him. And is like,
you thought
you could leave without saying goodbye? And then they, like, drive off in different directions. And it's like,
yeah, the road parts.
But it's like, Dom is still going to see Brian all the time.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like, he's married.
They're living together.
He's married to his sister.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wow, I didn't even think of that.
Like, so it's like the emotional thing of that is undercut a little bit when you're looking at them as characters.
Right, it's just for the audience that that happens.
It's for the audience, and it's for the actors, yeah, like it's for the people making the movie. So I think the tribute itself is great.
Yeah,
like it's a really touching tribute. It goes through, like, it has footage from all the movies, mm-hmm. has this, like, beautiful voiceover from Vin Diesel, of course.
It's beautiful.
It ends with the words for Paul, and it's like, ah.
Yeah.
But the placement of it is weird, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. That makes sense.
Like, I don't really know what else they could have done. It just feels odd within the context of the film.
Yeah.
But in any case, like, I think it works, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
definitely.
Like, just based on our real-world knowledge
We get the close of the story of the movie when they lock up Shaw.
Yeah.
And then we get this closure-type thing with tribute to Paul Walker.
Yes.
Although, like I was going to say, it's kind of weird we watched Fast 6, and I don't know if it's because it's, like, similar music, but there's a couple scenes where Paul Walker is, like, playing with Mia and his son, and it's, like, very emotional. It's reminiscent of the tribute. At the end of it. It's like, did they know? Like, it was so weird.
It's a little weird. Yeah.
Kind of prophetic in a creepy way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, every scene Paul Walker's had since Fast 5 with Mia has been like, this, like, oh, man.
Yeah. So sad.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
But yeah, I feel a little bad for Jordana Brewster, who's been sort of, like,
it's kind of got sidelined with the kid story.
Yeah, like, she was kind of part of the action in Fast 5.
Yeah.
And then in Fast 6 and 7, she's kind of, like, sidelined with the kid, and now she's probably, like, I don't...
written off out of the franchise.
Probably, like, yeah, she's probably going off to live with Brian.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Who knows?
I mean, yeah, it's the way it goes, I guess. But in any case... Like, that's a really emotional, really touching tribute. The rest of the movie is balls out, awesome, in action.
Yeah, for the other 2 hours of it.
Yeah, that scene where they're infiltrating the party.
Oh, my God.
Incredible.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much good stuff. Tyrese Gibson's so funny in this movie.
He's the best part of the whole franchise.
Yeah, he's really amazing. Like, it's so funny in this movie.
Yeah.
So funny in the... the car skydiving scene when he decides not to go. and Ludacris just hits the button and
the parachute comes
out.
Oh my God.
And then he comes in at the end and he's like, ah!
Yeah.
Man,
it's Roman bitches.
So many moments in this movie, it just made me want to, like, fist pump. There was a moment in this movie where I actually applauded.
You did. You clapped and I was very surprised.
Yeah, which I don't do.
I don't, like, remember what it was, though.
I haven't applauded in a movie since I was, like, 12.
Yeah.
But that moment was when the Rock shows up at the end of the movie, and what was it? I think Letty says, like, oh, did you bring the cavalry? And and the Rock, like, pulls the machine gun off of the drone,
yeah,
and goes, woman, I am the cavalry, and just starts marching and shooting.
Yeah. I forgot about that,
and it's amazing.
Yeah.
The Rock is like.
He's kind of perfect for these movies.
Yeah, he's one of the most charismatic actors working today.
Yes.
And he's so good. He's one of my favorite actors, honestly. I love seeing him in things.
Yeah, it's kind of great.
And he has some great scenes in this movie. He's actually not in that much of it.
No, he's not.
He's in the beginning and he's in the end.
Okay, that's another timeline thing I had a gripe with.
Sure.
So at the beginning of the movie, after he fights Jason Statham, he gets blowed up because Jason Statham blows things up. And we're told he has a... fractured leg in two places and a shattered collarbone.
Yes.
Then, 2 hours later, at the end of the movie, he's still in the hospital bed, in the hospital room.
Yep, wearing casts.
Wearing
stuff.
A cast. He gets up and breaks the cast out.
It's, like, amazing.
It's awesome. Like, if they had said fractured collarbone, I'd be fine. But shattered? A shattered collarbone?
I think you're forgetting he's the Rock.
I'm forgetting these don't take place on Earth.
Exactly. Once you embrace that.
You're right.
You know.
I like this movie a lot.
The Rock, man. He did it, man. He's amazing. He's so good. And yeah, so that's...
I think that's it.
Have we reached the apex of our discussion of Furious 7?
Yeah, I think we've gone too fast and too furious.
No, we didn't go too fast. We didn't go too furious, because that's a terrible movie.
It's not just about being fast anymore.
It's not just about being fast anymore.
Oh,
was, no, the best one-liner was when Vin Diesel drove the car through the... the building,
yeah,
because early his line when he sees the car is like, what does he say? It's like,
Paul Walker says, you know what kind of car this is, and he like
goes
throws all
the
specs of the car, and he's like, it's a tragedy, it's locked up in a safe,
yeah, he's like, can't leave beast unleashed in a cage.
There's nothing sadder than a beast
that's
locked up in a cage,
yeah, and then once he drives the car, he's about to drive it, and he goes, time to unleash the beast.
And then drives it through the wall of the safe, which is apparently made of paper. I don't understand.
Everything in the Fast and Furious series is made to be broken.
It's made of glass. You're right. I forgot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so this was the best one.
This
is easily my favorite of the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
Fast 5 is pretty close second, but like my official ranking?
Yes.
7, 5, 6, a few notches.
Okay.
1.
Okay.
3. Several notches.
Yeah.
2, 4.
Wow. 4 is the absolute worst.
4 is the absolute. Like, 2 at least has Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson. Like,
right. And Ludafro.
Like, Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson are fun to watch together.
Right.
Even if the movie surrounding them is terrible.
There's enough chemistry there that it's like.
Exactly. Like, there's some fun scenes.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious, like, just. It's such a self serious, like, soulless movie.
Wow.
Like, there's like the occasional joke, but it's not like, I don't know, it's not like, it just feels very, like, serious about itself.
Yeah.
And it took itself way too seriously.
That is, I will give Furious 7 the credit for that, just being, like, effectively an action comedy.
In many ways, yes.
Yeah. So, whatever.
But, yeah. So, I think, I guess that about wraps it up for our discussion of Furious 7. Yeah.
And the Fast and Furious franchise.
And yeah, that about wraps up for our review of Fast and Furious 7, as well as every Fast and Furious movie. Mike, where can we find you on the internet this week?
You can find me on @MDFilmBlog on Twitter.
Awesome. And you can find me at M. Smith FilmBlog.
Oh, so original.
Also on Twitter. You can find most of my podcasts on filmbook.com. I podcast about Walking Dead and Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash and a bunch of different stuff.
Oh, so cool. I do so much stuff for the internet. Oh, look at
bunch me. Of different stuff. We're going to be working on a new podcast soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll keep that under wraps for now, but I think we got a cool idea that we're really excited about.
Yes.
But so look out for that in the near months. Yeah. In the months to come.
Yeah. If our scheduling works out ever again, we'll have a new episode.
Yeah.
Up.
We're going to try to make this a more regular thing. Yeah. We're trying to.
We're both in school and also both have jobs.
Yeah. It's been a rough month for scheduling wise, but yeah. I think we could try to review It Follows. Like that our original plan was to review It Follows.
I really want to
for
see
our next
that.
Episode.
Yeah.
And then enough time passed, we were like, well, we should probably just review Furious 7.
Yeah. We could do two movies.
But there's not that much major coming out between this and Avengers.
Right.
So I think if we can do another podcast between then, It Follows, we should try to make it that.
Yeah. We could forego our discussions and in favor of a mini It Follows review and then another review maybe.
Possibly.
Time will tell.
All right, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. Remember, ride or die.
Gotcha.